Soul Sister Radio.
Rebecca Lawler Limited is the culmination of a lifelong dream for philanthropist and designer Rebecca Lawler. She designed her patented, unique glass heart, which is handcrafted by glass artists in Virginia. Placed in the center is a brilliant gem. The heart can be worn with the Rebecca Lawler Limited signature ribbon or an awareness ribbon of choice. To join the mission of the Hearts of Hope Foundation and add a Rebecca Lawler signature heart to your own personal style, go to RebeccaLawlerLimited.com. That's RebeccaLawlerLimited.com.
Hello, Soul Sister listeners. If you're learning and receiving from what you're being fed here on Soul Sister Radio, return the love by becoming a monthly partner of this station via sponsorship, monetary gift, or as a Soul Sister advertiser. Thank you for your support. Soul Sister Radio.
Welcome to Soul Sister Friday. This is Maria DiGiovanni, and I want to welcome you to Soul Sister Radio, and this is Healing Through Prayer with Corrine Walson. Corrine, take it away.
Thanks, Maria, and good morning, everybody. When I was trying to think of a topic for this week's show, I just kind of was asking myself, what is it that I'm sharing that's different and sort of sets this show apart from information that you could all get elsewhere? And what really, the biggest thing that I feel that I have to offer and need to bring to all of you is the ability to heal the physical body as well as emotional or mental issues. But today we're going to be focusing on the healing of the body. And I want each of you to know that, you know, if you've been fighting the healthcare system or you're on prescription medication and it's working but not working, and to those of you who have difficulties and you've kind of just given up and resigned yourself to a life of pain and just having to deal with it, today I want you to know that you don't have to accept this limiting belief. Okay, there is hope and healing for you. It really doesn't matter what the claim is. It can be physical, emotional, or mental. Because in reality, it is only a belief and not the truth about you, about God's flawless creation. Now, we read in the Bible that Jesus healed, you know, without any material methods and means. He healed the blind man, the lame man. He healed leprosy. He healed mental and emotional problems, the issue of blood in the woman, and raised the dead. And these are just a few of the ones that we know about in the Bible, or the healings that were published. I'm quite certain there were others that never made the cut into the Bible. And Jesus' disciples went on to heal the sick and raise the dead after Jesus ascended. But after some time, these healing works kind of waned, and they weren't practiced because these individuals who had been taught by Jesus passed on, and then those that were taught by the disciples had passed on, and eventually mankind slipped back into that feeling of helplessness and of fear, and they ended up with a complete dependency upon matter and material means for their health and well-being. Well, it wasn't until the latter part of the 1800s that this healing practice that Jesus used and taught was rediscovered by a woman in New England. She was deeply devoted to the Bible, and she loved God. And she had fell on the ice as a young woman and sustained internal injuries. And like so many people back in those days, she was told that there was nothing that could be done for her and that she was surely going to die in a short time. She refused to accept this death sentence. She opened her Bible, and she told everybody to get out of her room. And she flipped open the Bible, and her eyes fell upon that healing where Jesus performed on that man with the withered hand. And she wrote about this experience in her book, Science and Health. And she says, "When apparently near the confines of mortal existence, standing already within the shadow of the Death Valley, I learned these truths in divine science, that all real being is in God, the divine mind, and that life, truth, and love are all-powerful and ever-present. That the opposite of truth, called error, sin, sickness, disease, and death, is the false testimony of false material sense, of mind in matter, that this false sense evolves in belief, a subjective state of mortal mind, which the same so-called mind names matter, thereby shutting out the true sense of spirit." Now, when Jesus was alive, we read that the masses pressed in around him to be healed. They worshipped him and they adored him. But then what happened? When he claimed that the power and authority by which he cast out demons and healed was from the Father, and that he and the Father were one, the rulers and Pharisees became so jealous and were so threatened and worried that they would lose their hold over the people that they conspired to falsely accuse Jesus and eventually had him crucified. Well, when Mary Baker Eddy first discovered the science or positive rule behind Jesus' healings, she was so excited to share this with the nation and with the world. What she didn't anticipate was the sharp backlash, censure, and attack she received in response to what she shared. The medical profession tried to discredit her, but she proved what she shared and taught. She too was able to heal all manner of disease and sickness and also raise the dead. She opened up Christian Science churches, and when she spoke, There was standing room only due to the masses that were desperate to hear her speak and to be healed by her. And after she passed on, her students carried on the healing practice. There are Christian Science practitioners all over the world today that assist those in need of healing, who are ready and willing to rely solely upon prayer for their answer. So how did they do it? Well, referring back to Mrs. Eddy's statement regarding life, truth, and love being all-powerful and ever-present, think about that. There is never a moment when eternal life, truth, and love are absent. They fill all space and possess all power. There is nothing and nobody and no idea that can possess any power, because life, truth, and love own all the power there is. And your entire existence has been, is now, and forever will be in the midst of this life, truth, and love. This life is your life. This truth is who you are. And this love is your DNA, the very substance of your being. You cannot be separated from it, and you cannot be mesmerized into believing you exist outside of it. It is where you live, move, and have your very being. You are safe in the arms of love. This is arguing in the absolute truth and spiritual sense of life, which is the only real life you've ever or will have. Okay, so I'm hearing your yeah buts. Just stick with me for a second, okay? There's only one creator, God, and his one creation. And this creation is a reflection of him. We can't fully grasp what this means in reality because we attempt to take it in and picture it using human senses. And these are limited and can't grasp what eternity, timelessness, and perfection is. But we can try to imagine a life fully immersed in love, perfect and eternal and harmonious. And that is what God created. And one of the synonyms for God is mind. And when I say that, I use a capital M because it's the same as God. It's not that gray matter under your skull, but the all-knowing, ever-present, and all-powerful mind, the only intelligence, the creator and governor of the universe. God's creation exists of mind and its ideas. We are his spiritual offspring. Now, mortal mind, with a small m, is this claim that, first of all, matter is real substance and that it's intelligent. It claims that it is so intelligent that it is the creator itself and is the author of life and death as well as sin and sickness. It dictates to us what gender we are, if we're man or woman, the families we're born into, the experiences we're going to have, and therefore the type of life we'll have, what diseases we're likely to get. It sets up the rules and parameters we need to live by, what seasons we will experience, and so on. You get it. It sets up shop and calls itself reality and makes itself the authority over your life. And, you know, we blindly accept this as just the way things are and blindly and doggedly follow along. And we have been for so long now. And because this version is supported by the five physical senses, we've accepted it as true. And we distrust and are skeptical of anything that claims otherwise. It is this physical sense of life in matter that shuts out the true sense of spirit and what we truly are. When we understand our true spiritual nature, these claims of matter cease to impress us and we don't believe in it or have faith in them. And the moment that happens, the healing has taken place in our thoughts. And then our bodies and human experience adjust to reflect our understanding. I need to make it clear that in order to heal through prayer, that you must stay in the absolute. What I mean by that is that you have to start your thinking from a spiritual standpoint and never deviate it from it, even though the material senses and evidence or the false evidence claims the exact opposite of what you are mentally arguing for. It's staying with the absolute truth of being, which is going to fly smack in the face of what appears outwardly as actual. Mrs. Eddy says, we must look deep into realism instead of accepting only the outward sense of things. We cannot fathom the nature and quality of God's creation by diving into the shallows of mortal belief. We must reverse our feeble flutterings, our efforts to find life and truth in matter, and rise above the testimony of the material senses, above the mortal to the immortal idea of God. These clearer, higher views inspire the godlike man to reach the absolute center and circumference of his being. Now, in contrast to the absolute truth of being, perfect and spiritual God and man in his image and likeness, we have mortal mind's version of creation and life. Now, it's not really a simple task to convey this idea of mortal mind and how it constructs the body, but I like analogies. I'm kind of a visual learner. I want you to imagine a large glacier in the ocean off the coast of Alaska. And just above the waterline, you'll see a large ice cap jutting out, and you can clearly see the outline. And while it looks big, if you were to go diving underneath the waters, you would see that the glacier is much larger beneath the surface. In fact, most of the glacier is underwater. And it's a good analogy when considering mortal mind's construction of the body. Remember that science is now proving that what we formerly believed was solid matter is merely different frequencies and vibrations of energy, and that our thought directly impacts these frequencies, and that ultimately everything is externalized thought. So returning to the iceberg illustration, the bottom portion of the iceberg represents your thought or consciousness, and the portion above the waterline is the physical body. The lower level or consciousness is not seen by the naked eye, but it is the majority of the formation. So your body is truly the product of your thinking. That saying, as a man thinketh, so is he, is truer than we know. You are actually constructing your physical body with your thoughts. Even the medical profession is in total agreement that fearful and depressing thoughts lead to all sorts of ailments and conditions. And on the flip side, there are those who are teaching that the power of positive thinking and how thoughts of health and abundance and success will draw these things to you. Well, they're partly correct. A change in thinking does directly impact your life and body. However, they're still starting from the assumption that you are thinking with your mind, small m, and that you are the power and source behind the attraction. Here is where Christian Science departs from this line of, quote, mind over matter line of teaching. Christian Science starts with mind, capital M, a synonym for God, and then reasons outwardly from there. I'm going to give you an example. Let's take the claim of arthritis. Someone comes to me and tells me that they suffer from arthritis. They ache from the time they get up in the morning until the time they go to bed. Certain weather conditions can make it better or worse. Medication only helps sporadically, and that they basically resign themselves to this incurable condition and to a life of suffering. My job is to see him or her in the absolute truth, the way God knows him and sees him or her to be, and to allow this seeing or knowing to dawn in his or her consciousness to the point that they too understand their true nature. And to the point that this understanding then holds more weight in their thoughts than the frightening picture described above. When this happens, the claim, called arthritis, loses its hold in their thought and vanishes to its native nothingness. Arthritis is not a thing or a power, but a claim of mortal mind, and only exists in the consciousness of the sufferer. Once the believer becomes a non-believer, it loses its power or foothold and becomes nothing. So how do you silence those voices, you know, the serpent talk about pain, the unfairness, doom and gloom, how we've been unfairly sentenced to a life of misery, how our lives were unfair before, and now here we are diagnosed with this incurable condition, how we miss out on life, can't do this, can't do that, and on and on and on and on. How do you put more weight into the side of truth and error when all of our physical senses confirm the bleak forecast of the future? We must start from the truth and work out from there. If you start with a false statement in the beginning, like 2 and 2 is 5, any math you perform from there on out is going to be faulty. So we have to start with the absolute truth of your being and argue our way out from there. Despite the yeah buts and false claims of the world, we stick like glue to the truth and reason our way through. And a good place to do this is away from distraction. You know, go somewhere quiet. And if you can't find a physical location, a mental closet atmosphere, if you will, just to quiet the voices within. And then you begin your reasoning from truth, God's truth. God is perfect. His reflection must also, therefore, be perfect. His reflection cannot and does not move out of sync with him, cannot possess anything in addition to what he is, and cannot have anything less than what he is. Just like your reflection in the mirror is a perfect reflection of you. In Ecclesiastes 3:14, we read, "I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it." So we begin from the standpoint of perfection. If you reflect perfectly all that God is, then we must consider what that means and entails. Mary Baker Eddy gave us 7 synonyms for God. One of those is love. God is love. You are the image and likeness of love. And let that settle in for a moment. Think about love, real love, the kind that pours forth effortlessly, doesn't have to be earned, is unconditional, and moves us to tears when we feel it. That love created you. That love knows you better than you know yourself, knows each hair on your head. That love is your father, mother, the artist that drew you. Only what is true about love is true about you. Love's action is always harmonious. It blends and folds, warms and nurtures. Yet it's strong and powerful and soft and peaceful. There is no power that can withstand divine love. So you can boldly and correctly reason that as love's offspring, all of your action must be harmonious also. This includes bodily action. There is no inharmonious, stubborn, or stiff action within you, and there is no power present to act against your harmonious and free action, because God is all-powerful and he fills all space. There is no place that any other power or presence opposed to God can exist. Because you are divine love's image and likeness, you can only give, receive, and express authentic love. And that in reality, all you have ever truly experienced was real and authentic love, the love of God. Any claim of hatred, cruelty, neglect, or any other form of the claim of lack of love or claim of separation from God is simply that, a claim by mortal mind and physical sense that you could be separate from your Creator, that you've been a helpless victim of this oftentimes cruel and unfair world, and that you must suffer for the actions of others. I understand that at first the ego's reaction is to reject this reasoning, to scoff or dismiss it and say, well, obviously you don't know my story. But that's also exactly what happened when someone suggested that the world was not flat or that the sun did not rotate around the earth. What I am telling you contradicts what the physical senses tell you, so why would you believe it? Because proof is in the pudding, my dear. It's been proven over and over and over again that understanding that your real life and existence is in God, in spirit, and not in matter, brings physical healing. Let's go back to the arthritis example and listen to this testimony. It's by Lou Odell from the Christian Science Sentinel, June 2005, and she writes, About 3 years ago, I developed pain in my left hip and knee. In fact, the pain grew so bad that I had only two positions where I had no severe pain, either lying flat on my back or sitting in my recliner. Right away, I started to give myself Christian Science treatment. This was prayer based on my understanding that any pain is based on human belief and doesn't come from God, who is all good. I realized that I didn't have to accept a belief. I could reject or change it. The fact that I had this pain showed me that I had a hidden belief in pain that I hadn't been aware of. It was hidden in my consciousness. So this was a wonderful opportunity for me to root out this belief and change it. Where the challenge came was in convincing myself that this pain was unreal and that the truth was that in reality there was no pain. That's where I really had to focus, so the first thing I decided was that I wouldn't yield to the pain. At that time, I was working in a Christian Science reading room that was about a mile and a half from my home. I decided I would continue walking to the reading room a couple times a week, and I would do this without limping. I felt that limping would be giving substance to the belief. It wasn't easy, but I felt it was important to remain consistent and persistent. My mentors were Jesus, St. Paul, and Mary Baker Eddy because I knew that each of them had suffered greatly, but they had persisted no matter what. Although I didn't go to a doctor for a diagnosis, I felt certain that these symptoms indicated arthritis. I remember both my parents during their later years constantly complaining of arthritic pain, taking medication for it, and often describing the symptoms in detail. I also have four siblings diagnosed with arthritis who take medication for it. So I'm very familiar with this disease. This probably was the hidden belief that they got it, so I've got it. That's what I had to get rid of, that belief. St. Paul said in the Bible, "Pray without ceasing." I took that to mean that I should give myself Christian Science treatment without ceasing, and that's what I did. I prayed using the scientific statement of being from Science and Health. I'd been told that arthritis involved deterioration in the joints, so I also prayed very deeply to better understand that spirit is the only real substance, as Science and Health states. So, since spirit does not deteriorate, then there couldn't be any deterioration in me. In fact, there can't be any kind of deterioration at all, anywhere. One of the beliefs about arthritis is that it occurs as people get older, in other words, start to deteriorate. So I was meeting head-on both the belief of arthritis and the belief that one deteriorates with age. After about 2 months of constantly praying about these ideas, I finally became convinced, which is really the issue, that I could change my belief from arthritis to no arthritis. And when the truth that my substance was entirely spiritual really took hold in my thinking, there was no more pain, and there hasn't been any since. Mary Baker Eddy wrote that bones have only the substance of thought which forms them. They are only phenomena of the mind of mortals. I translated that to mean not only bones, but joints and cartilage as well. I kept reminding myself of this statement, too, from Science and Health. In divine science, where prayers are mental, all may avail themselves of God as a very present help in trouble. I realized that all I had to do was to accept that this was true and become convinced of it. The convincing is what is so important because we can repeat words over and over. But until we're convinced of the truth of what we're saying, we will not see the result we're looking for. I was convinced and I was healed. Prayer heals. Changing the basis for your thoughts and turning away from the physical and turning towards the spiritual and actual is your key. I've personally been healed numerous times. My family members all rely solely on prayer for healing. And I have helped others in healing the physical body with emotional problems, relationship issues, and more. This practical and provable science is available to everyone. And its foundation is love. I'm hopeful that today's discussion helped to stir your thought, to move you to question your old belief system, and to challenge yourself and start asking questions about what you have blindly accepted as truth and whether anything I've shared resonated with you. I'm here for you and welcome you to contact me on Facebook or through Soul Sister Radio. And I want to thank you for allowing me this space in which to share. I do it totally out of love for you and to end needless suffering. Have a beautiful week, everybody, and we'll talk next Friday.
Soul Sister Radio. Hello, Soul Sister listeners. If you're learning and receiving from what you're being fed here on Soul Sister Radio, return the love by becoming a monthly partner of this station via sponsorship, monetary gift, or as a Soul Sister advertiser. Thank you for your support.